I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had
Well, Northbrook Section Jack sent him out. Brent Weber on the board. We have the bounce. The bounce. By the dip. The bounce. I'm sure Brennan's long spoo. Actually, now they would be spizzes. We got the Dow up 312 points. S&P futures up 37. NASDAQ futures down or up 117. Yesterday, the S&P was down 100 at one point, or close to it. Finished down, well, it looked like maybe down 100, maybe down 85, 90, and then was down, finished maybe down 70, and now we got back half of that. Same thing with the Dow. It was down 900 plus and finished down 600 plus. Now we're up roughly half of that, as I'm sure was a massive thing in Washington, everybody to the market down, and we got to do something. So, Brennan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chief.
Did you call your congressman and say you better get this market back up?
You know, I'm a believer that the market has to fluctuate. If it keeps going up and up and up, I don't think that's really good for everybody. We need a couple of things of realization. Just bring things back to normal, then start moving back up again. And all you have to do is be patient, right?
Brennan, I sometimes am surprised at you. You're so Southside Catholic, you just don't get it. The market is supposed to go up, 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 and the day that it's going to turn, they're supposed to call you and give you a chance to get out so all the other people get screwed and not you. That's what's happening in this country, and you obviously have missed this change.
No, I listen to your change, Chief. I'm just giving you a little bit of grief.
I know. On the way in today, I'm saying, what can I do to learn from Brendan and torture Brendan? not that I really want to torture Brendan, but today.
Although I really don't see Manny as an accomplice in this. You know, I think Manny's kind of a level-headed, cool guy that may listen to you and your ideas, but I don't think he's a co-conspirator. So I don't think you should drag Manny into this.
Thank you.
You know what? He's getting there. He's very slowly. He's creeping. He's creeping. Kicking and screaming.
That
I'll
happens
say that
with age.
It does happen with
that
age.
That happens with age.
Well, it happens when you see the same thing over and over again, and finally one day you go, you know what? This has to be part of a plan. It just can't always happen this way and end this way every single time. just saying, you know, I'm going to... If every single time back in the 70s when I used to watch a lot of NBA basketball, when you see the home team, not the Celtics or the Lakers, you see the home team getting a call in the last 2 minutes, a call or two, not 10, but one or two, to send the home team away happy, home fans away happy, and every 50-50, you know, 50% team miraculously was 75% at home, you have to wonder if maybe there was some sort of an idea that since we don't care about either of these two teams anyway, why don't we just let them win at home and send the home team fans home happy? After a while,
nothing really matters until the playoffs.
Yeah, what's the difference? But anyway, we have the Fed meeting today, and the reason I'm going to ask you this is because you have been in government, you've been around a while, and you're an attorney. And I think you know a lot of this stuff because I think you were close to it. I don't think you've ever held office, but we have an issue today with the Fed being accused. A couple of their guys, well, they're trading stocks while they're in the friggin' Fed, for God's sake. Back in the day, I mean, this is what I know about it, Brendan. When I was younger, one of my buddies said to me, "When you go to Congress, it's really a horse bleep job because you have to put everything you have in a blind trust, even if you're even if you're making $25,000 a year at the time is what people made in the Congress, or 30, whatever the hell it was. So you never kept up with the people. We're talking about the guys who went like the ConCon and stuff, that their buddies that came out of the same law schools and just went and got a law job. At the end of 10 years or 15 years, they were in the country clubs. The congressmen weren't. That clearly being Congress wasn't an enriching job, although, you know, it's enriching in a lot of other ways, especially if you think you're doing something. But it wasn't the spot for you to be to make bazillions. At least being a representative wasn't. And I don't think Paul Simon made a fortune. I don't think Adlai Stevenson did. I don't think Dirksen did. I think those guys did. But somewhere along the line, that all sort of changed. And the second piece of information, which you probably know, but not many people, I think, do, is when you see guys like Arthur Levitt when he became chairman of the SEC, and who was the conservative sort of, I don't know, looked like he didn't, the guy who was from Chesapeake in Ohio, that became the Secretary of Transportation or something real quick, and then you see all these business guys, even the guy from Exxon, when he became Secretary of State. There was a little-known favorite college rule that if all those people, when they got these, what do they mean? Like it's a cabinet-level job. It doesn't have to be a cabinet job, but like the SEC chair is considered a cabinet-level job, I think. I would imagine a Fed chairman certainly is. I don't know about a governor, and that's a question for you. These are considered cabinet-level jobs. And those people that had an awful lot of stock in a company were expected to sell the stock. And the stock that they were sold, in order to allow them to do that, you got a kick on your, you'd have to pay income taxes for like a while. I mean, if you could kick the money to your grandkids or something. I don't think it was that you never had to pay Brendan, but you got a tremendous deal. And it was only for people at that level. So there was a huge incentive for those guys to take these, quote, jobs. I mean, there's a reason why Arthur Levitt became SEC chairman is because he got to sell all his Donaldson, Lufkin, and Jenrette stock and not pay taxes on it. I won't say forever, but for a long time. And so there was all this stuff kind of going on, but seemingly in the last, I'm going to say, 20 years, all this crap has gone away. And these guys are trading basically up their behind. I mean, Cheney, I think, was the first I noticed where he just basically said, screw you guys, I'm trading my stuff. You know, and then he did. And now it seems like these guys, we had the lady from, what's her name, Annie? The blondie that, got the job because one guy got tossed, and she's the wife of, the guy who owns the ICE or something. And she walked out of a COVID meeting and sold, you know, how many million dollars worth of it. When did this all become, and then it actually became a rule, a passed law that says these guys can't, because everybody got outraged by somebody, I forget who it was. They passed the law saying Congress people have to go back to not trading their stock. And then in the Obama administration, on like a Friday night deal, they rescinded that law. So now I think it's somewhat perfectly legal for these idiots and their staff to be trading stocks all the time. Where did this change? Where am I wrong, Brendan? Poke holes in my stuff and tell us the truth.
Well, unfortunately, I think that you're onto something.
Wait a minute.
Because it does seem like there are a lot more examples of congressional members and their staff trading things in a way that looks suspicious. And you're right, there were two instances, the senator in Carolina, I think it was, and then the woman in Georgia who traded shortly after meetings where they were party, because they were privy to at the beginning of COVID. And one woman bought Zoom stock. If I remember this correctly, she sold things, something like Airbnb and bought Zoom stocks, coincidentally, and just kind of timing things. And then there was a guy, I think it was a senator, was it Burr from South Carolina, who also was involved in some really shaky trades. He walked out of a meeting and his family trust sold a whole bunch of stock at a price, and then the stock tanked a couple of days after that. It was a real coincidence. We didn't learn anything in the meeting.
No.
I think it's, you're on to something.
Well, what do you do about it? I mean, I guess also the politicians to a certain extent, but as you and I have gotten older, it rubs you even worse. You don't mind when you're 25 if some 60-year-old senator thinks he's smarter than you, right? But when all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you're as old, maybe as smart as he is, and maybe even smarter in a few cases, I don't want to be treated like a third grader. I mean, the last thing I want to hear is the Fed telling me, oh, as long as you didn't do it during a quiet period. Well, who defines the quiet period? I will tell you that in a non-quiet period, when the Fed governor is going around the country and give these speeches, that I'd much rather have that speech than I would have the number today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or do they think we're that stupid? That as long as it's not in a certain period, everything's okay?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to defend that. I mean, I can't even come up with a good argument as to why that should be allowed, because it shouldn't. I'm totally agreeing with you here, Chief.
Well, where is, I guess, two things. Why, you know, we worry about, you know, the roving gangs, you know, mostly of, well, usually minorities in Chicago. I mean, the numbers bear that out. It's not a shot against anybody's color. It's the truth. Roving gangs of people running around not caring about the law. All right, let's ratchet it up a couple chessboards. You got people in Washington running around like roving gangs, stealing money, not caring about the law. I mean, to a certain extent, what's the difference?
The difference is the guys from Washington can afford big lawyers and lobbyists to get them out of the trouble that they caused and breaking the law.
Well, now, does this guy actually think, this guy Kaplan, does he actually think it's okay? And does the chairman not say, why doesn't, I mean, I know you don't ever want to do this, but if you actually were a president that gave a crap, because I don't know if either of the last two do, I mean, why doesn't the president show up at the meeting today and say, I want five resignations, I got new people coming in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when is somebody going to set the tone, like Wilford Brimley in the Absence of Malice or something?
That is a very good question, and I think our political leadership has, and part of that is, I think because of the polarization, that you're either a Democrat or Republican in Congress. I'm talking about you're either a Democrat or Republican, and you've got to vote in lockstep. And there's no room for really judgment. You won't have, or you didn't have Republicans who challenged Trump on things that were very questionable. And I'm not talking about, it would have been nice to have people like McConnell or McCarthy or the leadership challenge things on that. I'm talking about even lower-level senators who are pretty new or have been around for a term or two terms, challenge him. And same with the Democrats challenging in Biden right now, because there should be a core level of both competency and a moral compass that they have where they know that some of these things are wrong. And to allow them to happen just because the president is a Democrat or a Republican is not helping the problem to be resolved.
I think they love it. I mean, but how do you get a moral outrage out of McConnell and his wife and Pelosi and her husband? I mean,
I agree with you. That given what they have done over their careers, it's going to be hard for them to turn back on themselves and give up the gains that they got.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about giving anything up, but if those two if they ever decided to do something together and got in front of the population and started rattling off morals, I think the whole country would burst out in laughter.
That's true. And unfortunately, a lot of the leadership is in an amoral predicament, because when you look at things that are said by one president, one congressional leader, senatorial leader, compared to what they said 4 years ago, 6 years ago, it's laughable. It's like they've just taken the two scripts that they had, the two speeches that they had, and one says, here, you read my speech, and I'll read your speech. And because leadership has changed, it'll be perfectly fine, because we're saying the things we said then, except the other person is saying them.
Well, I was always a guy up until certain points here, and I guess I'm not there yet, but I'm still a guy who thinks that somehow, some way, we can fix this. And there was a certain, I'm at the University of Chicago, Brendan, I don't know if people ever thought this in law school, not casting aspersions against lawyers, but I'm saying that the idiots, including me, at the University of Chicago that were young, you always had this feeling that if you did your job right and you cared about the company, even if your boss was a stooge, if you could get to the upper level of management in any company at the time, you would find, you know, as the Yiddish would say, a mensch, or somebody who was an honorable man, and you could get you could get your point across and actually make a difference. That was everybody's attitude. And now I'm sitting there, God, how naive was I? I mean, the people at Top are more crooked than the people along the way.
Unfortunately, Chief, I agree with you again. I think that there's been a lack of a moral compass to get to the top in the corporate world. I think that there are fewer people that you can point to who would be willing to give up X number of dollars to do the so-called right thing for the country or even for the culture of the company. And I agree with you that when we were young, that there was this idealism. It might have been naivety at that time, too, that there was a hope, a desire that the leaders of large companies really had the interests of the country at heart and of the common populace at heart. And while it was true that, they were in it for their own profit and was stupid, but there was still a moral, an element that they wanted to do the right thing for most people.
Well, I think there was a guy, do you remember the dude? I cannot find these on YouTube. Remember the guy who owned a button company? They had commercials all the time. Remember that guy? He used to be on Chicago TV all the time. He owned his button company.
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, he would.
But keep going.
This is a long time ago. And he'd come out and give you a little history of the buttons, you know, what buttons were and where they started out. They started out as actually pieces of thread, believe it or not. And he would say, it's not just me owning this company and wanting to make a profit. I have all these people that are employees. I mean, their kids are going to school because of buttons. I mean, they're feeding themselves because of buttons. And by the way, if we want to be here for like a real long time, we're not going to pollute the place because it's going to cost us more to clean it up than we save by pollute. It had to do with the time horizon. And this guy was like third or fourth generation, and he was fully convinced that his great grandkid or great 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 grandkid was going to be running the button company. And it all along the way, you had a responsibility to all these people. It wasn't a question of you didn't want to make a buck. I'm sure he charged as much for the buttons as he could get anywhere. I mean, I don't have any issue with that, right? I mean, that's competition. But at least the idea was I can't screw my employees because I expect them to be here for 40 years, right? I mean, it's like there's a balance to this that somehow seems like it's sort of messed up. But what do you think? This week has been very interesting with this Pfizer booster thing. Finally, you have a group that came out and said, you don't need booster shots if you're under 65 and you're not compromised. First of all, it's a booster that's not working. It's working to make you less sick, and you're probably not going to die. So in a huge sense, it's working, okay? But in terms of you not getting it, it's not working, right? And it was never intended probably to do that, but they never told you that. So now it's become, unless they tweak it a little bit, it's essentially designed for a variant that was 14 months ago, not for one today. Mm-hmm. So it's of marginal use. So, of course, the CDC finally grows a pair and says, we don't recommend it for people under... Well, of course, last night I heard a guy from Pfizer on TV, and he's talking about, well, it's not over yet. And because you've been closer to this kind of thing, what is the pressure now being put on not only that committee, but the full CDC board? What is going on there to make sure that thing gets changed if you're Pfizer? I mean, I got to believe. Plus, you had the dopo president comment last week, not the dopo president, but the dopo comment that everybody should go out and get a booster even before the thing was approved. That's totally inappropriate on his part. You should have waited for these guys to say what they had to say.
That was a big mistake.
I'm not a Biden hater by any stretch, but that was a really dumb comment. And it shows something. I don't know, arrogance or whatever it shows. But so now what do you suppose the 8, 10, 12 people that are on that board or committee, what do you suppose their day and that last night was like with phone calls and everything else? And what do you think? I think they're like the Blagojevich jury, for God's sake. And then what do you think what do you think's going down there?
Well, I think there will be a lot of pressure. I think Biden jumped the gun. He can certainly jump the gun with his pronouncement that Bill has start up in boosters in people's arms by next Monday when the decision had not been made. So either he was, either he thought that the CDC or the committee was going to come out in his favor in alignment, which was just bad intelligence on his part, or he was trying to exert pressure. I don't know which is which, but he either got bad information about what they were going to decide or or was putting pressure on them and expected them to succumb to pressure.
In your moral south side mind, which is worse?
Pardon me?
Which would be worse?
Which would be worse?
Yeah.
I think lack of intelligence would be a lot worse. In intelligence, I don't mean his intelligence. I mean the information that he's getting from his people are saying that, you know, this, here's where we think that, objectively speaking, here's where we think the science is. Here's where we think that the CDC will come out. Here's where we think they should come out. They may be in alignment, but here's what we think is going to happen based on the science. And it's particularly galling in Biden's case because for the last, 9, 10 months of his administration, he's been the one promoting follow the science. And yet he got ahead of the science in his pronouncement. And it shows, there's a compilation of things that I think are working against Biden right now, and all relate to intelligence gathering information. The stuff now on the Pfizer vaccine, the flood of immigrants at the border, where Mayorkas came out yesterday and said the surge is greater than we expected, and then you look at what happened in Afghanistan, where the surge was bigger than expected and the takeover was pretty expected. So at what point is the information gathering on the Biden staff and his White House falling down on the job, and which is it that he is not listening or doing something in contradiction to what he's saying?
How much, I'll go south side, how big of stones did you have to be on that committee to vote this way? Are those people, are those guys that voted this way ever going to get another job in government?
You know, at some point it doesn't matter. Maybe this is south side naivety again. But at some point, it should not matter, because if you think that you're doing the right thing, and you really believe in, objectively speaking, you believe it, another job will come. Now, you may not be on the ramp on the Peter Principle to keep getting promoted way above your abilities, the way that the other people do if you, go along to get along. But if you're really true to your values, something good will come out of it.
Another job will...
It may not be right away.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Kernan. Welcome to Walmart.
There may be a hit for a while. Yes, that's true. But
by the way, did you get your cart, sir? Can I help you with your cart?
Let me write down that handle for you.
Yeah. We want to make sure you don't get COVID in our Walmart. I was stunned when it happened, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm thinking, who are these guys? I'd love to hire them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but unless the evidence, which leads me to believe, Brendan, that it wasn't a toss-up decision, that the evidence is overwhelming right now that not only are the Pfizer vaccines not doing a very good job at keeping COVID away from people, I think they still are doing a very good job at the intensity that people are getting it in terms of how sick and whether they're going to die or not. But I think that there absolutely had to be overwhelming evidence that there's no need to add a third shot on top of the two that aren't working. Or not working like people.
Well, that's true. Look at the vote. Wasn't the vote something like 16-2?
Yeah, I mean, I was mentioning
it wasn't a 50-50 vote. It wasn't just it wasn't like a typical Supreme Court decision, which is 5-4.
Yeah,
it was overwhelming. It was like 16-2 for this. So it wasn't a close call.
Well, do you think that? I mean, I'm going to have to say that at this point, when you start getting the numbers like we had out of Israel, and Israel by anybody's stretch has been the first vaccinated, you know, country to make it over like 85% of their people, right? And I believe mm-hmm. that's still true. Yeah. And they're saying now that the latest on the Pfizer, now that's the one I read. I've heard Moderna's a little better, but like Maddie says, that changes by the day. It's only 34% effective at stopping people from catching the new variant, but it's still 90% effective against huge symptomatic cases and death, which means you still want to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Means you still want to get vaccinated, but it probably means that the last thing you need is a booster today until we fix the booster. Would be my, you know, mm-hmm. but that's just me from reading the stuff. So I mean, it had to be overwhelming sort of evidence. And then to hear the Pfizer guy come on last night and say, "Well, what do you mean? This is we're just one step in the process." I mean, how much money? When can you tell those people, get the hell out of here? Get your people out of my office. I mean, are we that? I mean,
it's hard when you're dealing with the health of the general populace. And I think that's one of the more difficult things right now, is that when you saw how ravaging COVID was in the last 18 months. I mean, for God's sake, 675,000 at least have died. I said at least because I think a lot of people died from that that weren't attributed to COVID. That's a tremendous amount of people. And when you're talking about the health of the public and a crisis, you know, you do get more leeway in promoting something like a Pfizer vaccine or the efficacy of it. Even saying that, though, you've got to be really practical about what are the effects, and that's where things are getting sticky.
Brendan, if, and I know you're more on one side of this argument than I am, but at 675,000 number, what do you think the number would have been if there was not a bonus, essentially, for having somebody dying with COVID on a death certificate?
I know you've raised that before. I don't think that that's a legitimate argument. We can disagree with that. But I mean, I think that the number of people who died from COVID is tremendously high and was tremendously high for a longer period of time. And it still continues to increase now in unvaccinated areas. So you're right. We're going to have to put that one aside and agree to disagree on that.
Well, I think the number is horrible. I just don't think we should ever do stuff to make the numbers less believable. I mean, if the number is 200,000, it's horrible, right? You know, what I'm looking for is the number that says somebody who had nothing else wrong with them got COVID and died. That's the number I'm looking for. And if it's 50, I think it's too many, right? I'm not coming at this like some right winger. You know what I'm saying? I just want to know how many people, like one of my buddies, an attorney, Brendan, played football at one of the Big Ten schools. One of his buddies, whom he played ball with, prostate cancer forever, going downhill, finally comes home. They wouldn't let the family see him in the hospital. They send him, the family says, well, if he's dying anyway, send him home for hospice. They don't tell the family anything, comes home there 2 days, dies on a death certificate. It's a prostate cancer and COVID. And they never told the family at all. Never said here was his positive test. Nothing like that. They just put it on there because whatever bill they were able to send somebody, they got more money. And you know, maybe that's 10 people. Maybe it's 200,000 people. It's surely not 600,000. I'm with you there. But why do we have to do stuff like that to screw up the numbers? Is my point.
Well, I mean, you get more information on that case than I do. So I mean, I can't argue with that, whether it happened or not, how it happened or not, why it happened or not. My point was that with the number of people who died from COVID, and I think that there is a distinction if a hospital has just put COVID in order to get more money out of payment, as opposed to somebody who contracted COVID and died, even if they had other conditions like cancer or heart conditions or something else, but that they likely would have survived longer had it not been for COVID.
Right, and I don't like numbers. I mean, I don't like the number that 85,000 people in China have had COVID like forever. Brendan, that number's got to be 85 million, not 85,000, right? But it's, I'm saying these numbers get etched in stone, and when they do, I just kind of like them to be right. Like I said, if it's 50,000 people, you know, anyway, so what are you up to? Are you going to any ball games? Are you in town for going to the Irish game in Wisconsin or no? There's tickets available.
I'd like to get back over to Notre Dame Stadium to see a football game this year. I'm trying to find one of my friends here at camp is a professor at Notre Dame, and it looks like things are opening up. So I'd love to go to a game this year.
Well, we're trying to find a game where we're going to go down and tailgate. I have no desire to go inside. You can go inside, but I want to get a maybe Southern Cal. It's a night game. Get a nice parking spot. Bring some nice chow down there and tailgate and. You guys go to the game, and I'll come home.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. All right, buddy.
Take care of yourself. SP Futures up 33. NASDAQ Futures up 113. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
jocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right
here, right now, right now. Well, welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom. You just met Weber on the board. S&P futures up 32. NASDAQ futures up 112. Dow futures up 291. So we're making a huge step back, back toward the upside after yesterday's big sell-off. We're back really pushing two-thirds of the low of the day yesterday, which is quite an accomplishment because it sure looked pretty bad by 2 o'clock. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 225, 1.5%. I think they were down over 2% yesterday. FTSE up 77, 1.1%. CAC around up 93, 1.4%. Over in Asia, we've got on the Nikkei, it was closed yesterday, so was Shanghai. All right, so the Nikkei's down 660, 2.1%. Shanghai up 6.2%. Again, they were closed. Hang Seng was up 122. That's 0.5%. They were down 3% yesterday. So they're not even close to being back to unchanged. Nowhere near as close to being back to unchanged as we are. Yesterday, the Dow was down 614. S&P down 75. NASDAQ down 330. We're back, roughly 40% in the S&P, half in the Dow, and maybe a third in the NASDAQ. Bonds, 1.32, that's up one basis point is on the 10-year rate. The Bund, unchanged at minus 0.32. Japan actually down. It was positive almost 0.06 yesterday morning. Now it's only 0.04. Oil, up 87 cents, 71.16, so it's back from 67 bucks the other day. So it's been like 74, 67, now back to 71. So it's pretty volatile. Brent up 77 cents, 74.89. Natural gas down a penny, 4.96, down for under 5 hours for the first time in a while. Arbub up a penny, 2.13. We've got gold up 3.20, 17.67. Silver, however, up 33 cents, that's 1.5%, 22.54. Copper up 4 cents to 4.15. And we've got Bitcoin up down 126, 43,429. Again, that was over 50,000, maybe 10 trading days ago. So this stuff is all over the place. There's no question about that. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start here this morning, although we did have a couple of issues that happened a little while ago. On the Stevenson outbound side, just before exit 279, which is US 20, the ramp is blocked due to a jackknifed semi. The semi on the ramp from the outbound Stevenson to southbound LaGrange Road is blocking that ramp. So keep that in mind. And then further southwest of there on the Stevenson northbound side, just before exit 267, which is Illinois 53, there was an earlier crash that's just been cleared. but expect delays on the inbound Stevenson out to the southwest near Bolingbrook and in that area. So the Stevenson has had a couple of issues, but no issues on the Ryan I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Traffic building on the Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, rain on and off today. Much cooler temperatures, a high of just 68 in the city. Right now it's overcast and 67 going up to a rainy high of 68, so we'll stay right here in the upper 60s. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 102 today. Right now it's clear and 72. In sports, the White Sox got major help from the Royals as they swept a doubleheader from Cleveland, getting the White Sox magic number down to 2, but the Sox lost to the Tigers in Detroit last night 4-3. So they have not clinched the division yet, but magic number down to 2. They could clinch it today with a win and a Cleveland loss. Cubs are off. They'll host the Twins tonight at 6:40. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Braves 11-4. And in Monday Night Football, it was Green Bay coming from behind. They were down 17-14 at the half, and they scored 3 touchdowns to none for the Lions to pull away and win 35-17. Chief.
Is the Lions supposed to be any better or no? Well, that's Joel. Joel, Lions supposed to be any better?
Oh, man. New coach, number one, right? Number two, they lost their starting left tackle, Taylor Decker. Number three, they lost their starting quarterback, I believe their right quarterback, who they took, like, second. Like, who takes a cornerback second in a draft? Unless you're, like, a lockdown Charles Woodson, you don't take a quarterback second, especially one that doesn't cover, that didn't cover man-to-man in college. That's Jeffrey Okuda. So, man, oh, man, I know. I mean, I know they hold the record for 0-16. I just hope they don't go 0-17. But I really don't follow the Lions that much.
Sounds like you do. So, the what college did the guy come from? He was number two pick.
Ohio State. You knew that, right?
I didn't, but I mean, he's got...
Make matters worse.
Well, then you're betting on the selection process. It's like hiring somebody out of Harvard. You're assuming that Harvard did the work for you.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions, I mean, if you want to write a book about one of the most plagued organizations in the history of sports, I think that's what you're looking at. You're looking at the Lions. I mean, the Fords have owned it forever. They won't sell the team. They just make bad hire after. They hired a guy. Did you see the guy that they hired, Dan Campbell?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, straight out of your Vince Lombardi mode. I mean, Vince Lombardi was great back in, like, the 60s, and, you know, I don't even know if he made it into the early 70s, but I don't know. And then also, like, during the preseason, he told another coach on another team that there are 3 players on the entire roster that have more talent than they thought he had. So... It's just a debacle. I don't know. I'd rather talk about Michigan football.
Yeah, well, you know, Lombardi wasn't he one of the Fordham's 7 blocks of granite?
The coaches that were at Fordham.
Lombardi was one. He was a member of that line, wasn't he, in college?
You got me, Chief. You may got me by a few years on that one. I don't know about that.
Well, I wasn't around when he was, but. I'm saying that's where his football pedigree came from.
Yeah, I don't know. You got me on that one, Chief. For once, you got me.
So your buddy Kramer, we'll talk about Michigan in a second. Your buddy Kramer says this is mindless dip buying. What do you make of yesterday and this China thing? And how do you even figure out what the hell's going on in China?
Exactly. I don't know how you invest in the Chinese stocks. I mean, you talk about controlling the news flow. That's exactly what you have. Evergrande's going bankrupt yesterday. Today they're going to start reconstruction. I don't get it, Chief. I was sick that day in school when they talk how to interpret this stuff. I think you got to use the opportunity. The market's turned, in my opinion. I don't know. You know, everyone's looking for new all-time highs, new all-time highs by the end of the year. I think the market's turned. I think that it was due for a down day on Monday anyways. You had the Quad Witch expiration. The the unwind was definitely to the sell side. The factors that happened with China, I think, exacerbated it. But my quarterly, my quarterly numbers haven't turned yet because we're not at the end of the quarter. My weekly numbers have turned now, and they say sell. So, you know, they've said that before, but it's just anybody. Take a look at a monthly chart in the S&P 500 index futures, and if your expectations is for that to continue, then you need to rethink your investment strategy. There's no way that the index can continue. I mean, we don't necessarily have to go down, but if you look at the monthly cash S&P futures, right, you've had one down month the entire year, right? I don't even know if it was down. I think we closed lower than we opened. That's not the markets, Chief. That's not the way it's supposed to work. There's no free money out there. No, actually, looking at that, I have the weekly out. I think the expectations are way too high, and people should temper them for the remit. Yeah, we were down in January, and we were up February, March, April, May, June, July, August. And and now we're heading into September. You cannot have unreal expectations in this market. You're going to get smoked.
Your Fed put $90 billion in the market last week. Where do you think it's coming from? It's coming from right there.
Yeah, I mean the Fed. I mean the sell-off. You know what the Fed's going to do? The Fed's not data dependent. They're market dependent. If the market sells off, they'll back off the interest rate hikes. I mean It's a great game. It's a great game to be in. It's a great game to be a long-term investor. But you just better have your uncle points and just points where, enough is enough and you're happy. I mean, there's a lot of money I'll never take out of the market. But from a short-term perspective, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been this bearish since 1987.
Wow. Well,
and I'm probably wrong, Chief.
And you're bullish at me. Right, so you're bearish on the market, bullish on Michigan, bearish on Detroit Lions.
You got it, Chief.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I think you're clearly right on the sports side of it. I wish we could tell where the market is, because every time we get a little blip like yesterday, the government starts pouring money into it. It's a bad, you know, we don't really know where we are. I mean, is my point, I guess. And I think
you're an old timer like me. I mean, look how much the market moves without any of the stocks being open, right?
Yeah, well.
I mean, you don't need stocks. You just need the futures.
That's right.
And the hardest, you just need to look at China, see what the China news is, and look at the futures. And then, I mean, the stocks are the futures and the overnight. I wish I could totally reverse my lifestyle and just trade overnight, because,
yep.
I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, the movements that go on.
You'd have to have a phone, which I will show my age, and not just the news feed. You need the news before it gets out there, because somebody's getting it.
Exactly.
All right, bud. Exactly. Have a nice week. Go blue.
Okay, go blue.
S&P futures up 33. S&P futures up 111. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again. Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Low and roll stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Howley. Mr. Mark Weber on the board. SP futures up 32. Nasdaq futures up 106. Do we have Kenny?
We do, we do.
Well, it's a good thing that a guy like you is in the U.S. of A. Just saying. Did you hear what happened to your Chinese brethren? We got a missive from Russell, who's been over in China a bunch of times. Evidently, 10 years ago, like to the month, some guy in Hong Kong published something saying this Evergrande is basically a bleep storm and way too big and way too this, way too everything, and it was basically going to fall apart. He was banned from the industry for a decade, and now his sentence is almost up. And guess what? The place is a bleep show. He got way too much debt. And he was right all along, Kenny. But he was out for 10 years doing something. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe, did they have a Walmart over there? Could he be in the greeter at the Hong Kong Walmart?
Was he out or was he in jail?
He was just banned from the industry, I think.
Yeah, right. Just the way management at Evergrande is going to be banned from the industry as well pretty soon.
Well, but it is nice.
If they already have it, then.
Well, it is nice to know that after 10 years or 20 years of borrowing too much, which the government, of course, had to be all over. They had to be making sure they got the loans and every bank involved. And just whenever you had a problem, you got to give them more money. Sort of like, you know, Trump's empire or other things here in this country. It's not like we've never done that. And all of a sudden, one day, it's so big you can't give them any more dough. And they say, well, it's been a 20-year problem. But since Monday night, now it's Tuesday morning, somehow it's all fixed. We fixed it in 12 hours. Isn't that spectacular? Humans are so good at things, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very good at those things.
So it's all fixed? Do you, Kenny, I've run this by you a few times, because I know you have your finger on the pulse of a lot of stuff that I don't. What has been so silent for a long time now, for a couple of years, on the... You and I talked about it, had to be 2-3 years ago, it was before COVID, about some people weren't paying on their dollar-denominated debt and things like that. I have not heard boo from that in 2 years. Is that another problem, that the Chinese dollar-denominated debt or euro-denominated debt, is that all performing or not? I mean, have you heard anything?
I don't know. It's interesting you say that now, because I haven't seen a headline on it. Which means either one of two things. Yes, it's performing as expected, so there's nothing to report. Or it's not performing as expected, they're trying to figure out how they're gonna address that problem. My sense is, though, I'm not looking to create a stereotype. My sense is it is performing as expected, so I don't really think it's a problem, but hey, listen, all this stuff pops up all of a sudden and you don't know where it came from. So I guess we'll see once we start with the Fed taper, see if that causes other issues to arise.
Does it surprise you that the Fed is, I know you're, well, I don't know, I know you know him, I don't know if you're buddies with Steve Leisman or not, but, and I have, well, I have my concerns about that, not that you're his buddy. I think this Fed has been dirty for a while. I mean, in terms of people trading and stuff, and letting people know their speeches before they, in their mind, go ahead.
I think it's all dirty, whether it's the Fed, whether it's people in government, whether it's Congress, senators, Congress, and I think it's baloney that any of them in that position are even allowed to have a trading account. I mean, look, people in the news, people got, report journalists at CNBC or journalists at Fox News cannot have a trading account because of the job that they're in. There should be zero conflict of interest. There should be nothing, right? Everything is managed or mutual funds, but there's no individual trading account. Why Richard Daley or any one of the Fed members can have a trading account and then go out and tell the world, oh, by the way, during the crisis, I was trading my, I was trading my account and made over $1 million trading my, well, of course you did. You should have made $20 million with all the information you have. The fact you only made $1 million is almost embarrassing, right?
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
Right. But the fact that he's even allowed to do it, or congressmen or senators, Nancy Pelosi, really? Right?
Why?
But to be able to trade, considering all the information, and they're going after guys for quote-unquote inside information? here and that, you know, guys out in the street like you and me, whatever. Not that you and me, not that they're going after us, but what I mean is, you understand what I mean, right?
Well, yeah, remember the years ago, I'll bet you remember this story. Remember the two schlumps, I use that term as a Southsider, that were in the printing company in Wisconsin that printed Business Week, and they used to trade based on the Business Week. Now, when was Business Week?
Stories they were writing.
They were reading them off the press. They were two schlumps that were in the printing company. They would read it off the press before it hit the racks on.
Right. Plus, so they would right, exactly right.
But the guys didn't make any money. So since when is Business Week a weekly magazine, a market mover? a congressional meeting isn't, right? I mean,
but listen, all the information that anyone has at the Fed, like you just said, they know the information before they're going to do it. They know if they're going to be dovish or hawkish. They know if rates are going up or going down. They know exactly. And so the fact is, and you know, we used to see that, well, you do still see it as far as I'm concerned, because I think it's blowing, that any of them, Congress and senators, and that any of them have access to a trading account like that. I mean, it's beyond me. And the fact that now this has come out, and now Jay Powell, you know, not that it's come out, but I mean, it's always been, it's not like it's been a secret.
Well, he's fallen back on the, they didn't happen during the quiet period. So what?
Whether it happens during the quiet period or not, there's conversation going on, there's inside information that they're having conversations about. They know damn well what's going to happen, the same way, you know, people in government know what's going to happen. People in Congress know what bills they're talking about, who they're being lobbied by, which way this bill is going to swing. Is it going to help the healthcare industry or hurt the healthcare industry? Oh, let me go short the healthcare industry or let me go long the healthcare industry. Oh, wow, look at that, I made $500,000. Oh, aren't I brilliant? It's baloney.
What did my mother used to say when she was a good bridge player? One good peak is worth two good finesses.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, conveniently, you know, they don't talk about that. Nancy Pelosi doesn't bring that up. You know, she doesn't bring up, you know, how, her trading account. Look at her trading account. It was a story. I think, where did I read it? It was either in the Journal or it was somewhere else about her trading account as well. You know, how much money they invested and made over the course of the crisis. Baloney.
Well, Kenny, how did it come to pass, in the morals or lack of morals that we have? I'm going to say 25 years ago, they could never kind of admit to this stuff and think they were okay. They think they're bulletproof. They think they're all okay that this guy from the Fed doesn't. When did that happen? I'm going to say if it's 1984, there's no way somebody on the Fed says, "Yeah, I was trading crap last year." I mean, and doesn't resign that day. How does all of a sudden these people think it's right?
I guess it's woke, right? I guess it's okay to be woke, so you can. I tell everyone what you're doing, and everyone goes, "Oh, wow, that's great." I don't know. It's unbelievable to me. I agree with you. How could that possibly be? If I stood up and said, you know, geez, I overheard this, and I went out and bought this stock, and then the takeover happened, they're going to try, well, who'd you hear it from? How'd you hear it? Who said it to you? And suddenly, you know, I'm going to get arrested. It's baloney.
Well, if you're a Milton Friedmanite who's into this, he had a different view of insider trading, and I'll tell you what it is in a second, but if you're the Justice Department right now, and you and I are the Attorney General, how is it, or if you're the SEC, or the people, I was going to say something nasty, at FINRA, how do you not get the phone call from the Attorney General saying, "I don't care who you've got at insider trader cases, I would say drop all those cases"? How do you chase down some low-level schmuck if you're going to let these guys go?
That's what I mean. That's exactly my point. How do they do that? How do they just turn a blind eye? The fact that Daly came out and said that 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, the fact that they're not investigating him right now, the fact that he hasn't stepped aside is beyond me. But again, you know, it must come with privilege, right? They're all privileged with the position they have, and they haven't done anything wrong, and they filed the right paperwork, and they did this, and they did that. The fact that they can even do it is the first issue. They shouldn't be able to do it.
Well, I mean, I don't get it, Kenny. I mean, but obviously, you and I are in the minority,
right? Correct.
I mean, the idea that
and now you got me all wound up this morning.
Well, that's all right. Well, I mean, how long have we been into this? If you're not cheating, you're not trying. dick. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's not me. You know, it's not me. I mean, on the trading floor, I mean, if anybody did something wrong, the people who were there felt, hey, that's not our product. Our product is to present to people that this is a fair game, and we don't want an unfair game because it's going to screw all of us. I don't know if it was morality, but it certainly was business sense. Well, now nobody cares. There was a guy ranting and raving the other day about the payment for order flow and how it's been 10 years. The markets are way better. I'm sitting there going, buddy, it's a friggin' kickback. how can a kickback ever be a sign of good health in any industry? They just come from a different spot, I guess. I mean, I don't know. But they seem to be running the world, Kenny. And now what do you make of this thing yesterday? Now, is it all clear now? We can pile right back in, or
what I think has happened. Look. Is I think the market was absolutely looking for a catalyst. It needed a catalyst. It needed a fuse to ignite the fire because markets had gotten stretched, but nobody wanted to believe it. The Fed was remaining dovish, and everyone was saying that the correction has to come, but it's not coming. And every time the market dropped, you know, 2%, the buy the difference went in, and oh, look at that. Look at how great I am. And so it needed a reason. So the other grand reason, whether you think it's going to be, and it's certainly not going to be the Lehman moment that some people were referring to, not by any stretch, but if it's gonna create some anxiety around the world with global banks kind of involved in it and the tips are gonna take, okay, well, that's what it's gonna be. But I don't think it's gonna be the disaster that it felt like. You know, yesterday at one point the Dow was down nearly 1,000 points by 30, right? As it went into this free fall. And I thought that part of it was a little bit overdone. And that's actually kind of when, you know, the buy the dippers went in, and then there was that rumor about, you know, White Knight coming to save Evergrande, and, you know, they rallied the market into the end of the day, which, by the way, they also rallied the European market into their close yesterday, which should have been a signal to the U.S. market that there was something else brewing, because the U.S. markets continued to fall well until about 3:30, and then they found their footing and started to stabilize. But I think part of that was, it was overdone, I think, or at least the perception was it was overdone, and that there was some real bargains to be had. Look, Goldman Sachs lost 5% of its value yesterday alone because of the rumor it's connected to Evergrande and the hit it's going to have to take and blah, blah, blah. And while it's not very public yet, none of us know that, the fact is if you're Goldman, a J.P. Morgan, a Morgan Stanley, or Citibank, and you know you have exposure to Evergrande, you already know what your risk is because look at the stock. It's down 87% in January. It's done nothing but go straight down. So, you know, this brewing issue didn't just suddenly appear last Thursday. It's been brewing for a while. And so these banks, I think, they've already recognized the fact that what their exposure is, how to mitigate it, what to write down. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be that big, huge problem. They might take a short-term hit when earnings come out. They talk about it. But I don't think it's going to be a big, huge hit. So I think the market is once again going to rally today. I don't think it's going to rally all back. But I think it's going to wait until now tomorrow for the Fed. You're going to see how dovish or not the Fed is. And don't forget, we're still in that September is the end of the quarter, so you could have some volatility going into next week where they mark them, you know, where they mark to the market, and they mark their books, and they get paid at the end of the quarter. So I think there's still some volatility ahead, but I'm not so worried about Evergrande.
You know, I don't know enough about it to be worried, Kenny. But I also know that there's 10 banks in Illinois that we never even heard of that got their male appendage stuck in the guillotine in China. I mean, it always happens.
I hear you.
I mean, the people we never even thought that were there. You know, it's hard for you and I to take a risk assessment at this point because I don't think anybody's talking. I mean,
I agree with you. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, how this thing unfolds, because they can't. In my mind, is they can't let it collapse. There's way too much within their own financial system, with their own economy. There's way too much of a web, right? So someone's got to step in and do something.
Well, we got a dash, Kenny. But the Chinese government is not acting logically.
Not at the moment. But let's just do they ever? But that's a whole other conversation.
Well, all right, bud, take care of yourself. Have a good week. I'm sorry I wound you up. No, I'm not. I'm not at all sorry. I love it when you get wound up. S&P futures up 31, NASDAQ futures up 110. Back, Mr. Jeff Joseph.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. It's Matt Weber with the board. S&P futures up 31. Nasdaq futures up 114. We've been kind of steady here since we came in. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, Keith. Good morning to you.
I'm doing good. Are you into, according to your buddy Kramer, are you out mindless dip buying?
I could be. I'm open. I'm open to that label.
Which part? You're dip buying or you're mindless? I don't think it's the first one. You might be dip buying, but you're too late. You should have done that at 2:30.
Yeah, you know, I saw that show he did when it first aired, and I knew he was going to catch a little bit of flack for that.
Well, at some point, I mean, that has become the a strategy, and I'm going to say it's not much of a strategy, but it's something that has worked, right, for a while.
That's right.
But it's not exactly, I don't think you're going to find a serious investment book with a chapter entitled Buy the Dip, but, you know.
No. I mean, you might find it as an offshoot of dollar cost averaging that you end up finding yourself buying the dip every once in a while, but not as a exclusive trading strategy, no.
Well, it also comes down to, you know, a stock that goes from 50 to 200 and drops down to 198. Is that really a dollar cost averaging dip opportunity? I mean, it seems like it's not much. I mean, even yesterday we weren't down that much.
That's
in a lot of these stocks.
You know, oddly enough, because it's such an immature market, the only place where you can say that it's really been a strategy that is an executable strategy, because that's a whole other thing. You just raised, how do you execute that idea? The only place where you can actually say it's been executable strategy is in cryptocurrencies. You know, where there's been material dips, and you don't have to ask the question, you know, how big is this dip? It doesn't matter. But,
well, yeah, I mean, but if you, well, again, it's you got to buy it on the right day, and once in a while, once in a great while, the today's bid becomes tomorrow's offer, and then buy the dip strategy doesn't work so hard. But we haven't done that in a while. I'm just kind of stunned at the way the new. I mean, obviously, you know, because I drag people like you on the show, I'm actually concerned about us telling the truth as we know it and saying what we don't know. But it's absolutely stunning to me, Jeff, that. We have this thing happening in China. Now, everybody knows, I mean, I would think, unless you've been under a rock and don't read anything, that there are serious property issues in China. I mean, there are cities with nobody living there. I mean, somebody built them. I mean, I think somebody bought them, I think. I mean, I don't know how that worked out, but I think some of them are actually sold. But nobody wants to move into a building with the only person there. And I'm not sure the water and the heat's even on. You'll see pictures of bridges with, like, one car on them. I mean, I've never been there, so I don't really know the whole depth of it. It seems to me that it would be something that, since I don't know, I'd rather avoid. Okay, so, and I would never consider, maybe in a fully diversified portfolio, would I put the equivalent of 5% of somebody's assets in a, you know, in a bull spread in a Chinese ETF, yeah, you know, or somebody, if a guy's got a $1 million account, should we plunk a little bit in there just because we want to be everywhere? Yeah, you know, I'll go with that. But I honestly don't know what's going on over there. I don't trust or really understand what the leadership is doing. It looks to me like they're slitting their own throat in a few spots, but I don't know. They must think it's worthwhile. But the interesting part is we have no lack of, and I'll use the term, idiots here that don't know any more than I do, that absolutely will opine all day long, oh, no, don't worry about China. Don't worry about Hing Zing, whatever he's doing. He should do this because this is what I would do, and that's what he's going to do, so invest. For God's sake, what kind of garbage is that to throw at people? We don't have any idea over here. There isn't a soul that we know, Jeff, maybe you do, that has any idea of the depth of exposure to a bank down the block here from the exchange in China. How would we know? So why would you get out there and tell people that there's no exposure or it's minimal exposure? You don't know, do you? Do I know what's in the Bank of Montreal, Harris Bank's balance sheet? How the hell would I know? So why would I get on Stocks and Jacks and say, don't worry about it, you know, those guys are fine? Well, how do I know they're fine? Why would I say that to somebody just to get them to buy my stock? I mean, where am I wrong? I'm ranting, I know. Kenny got me ranting.
No, that's an easy one. You know, you're right. We came upon that same problem with China in particular when we did our China issue over a year ago. You know, not only did we cover the ghost cities, as we refer to them, and as they refer to them as well, and they're just amazing. We had a photo spread of maybe 10 of these cities that are just completely built and not a soul on the street. It's a very searchable thing. You can pull it up, look at ghost cities, and it's kind of stunning to see these cities that were built in a very short time. You know, to their credit, they can build them overnight, but they certainly can't occupy them. And then, so there are literally fully developed cities that have, you know, 1% occupancy, just someone doing maintenance, and that's about it.
So, Jeff, what is this?
But even getting comment back to your point, there's little to no transparency coming out of China on anything. You know, we certainly saw that with respect to the Wuhan virus. We certainly know that with respect to their economic policy and banking policies. And, boy, we certainly ran into difficulty getting qualified information out of China. And then, more importantly, anyone here that could speak on the record with confidence about China. It's just, you know, there's not a lot of sunshine there.
Well, Jeff, the ghost city, of course, I always want to dip into the detail, and I was asking Jan Flanagan yesterday, because that's what he does, is he's retail, I'm sorry, real estate stuff. Are those buildings, condominiums, waiting to be sold? Have they been pre-sold? I mean, are there people involved?
I mean, no. The idea is that they're waiting to be sold. They're built as predominantly as condo unit, not rental unit. That was the intention to sell them, but they also intend to sell them at deep, deep discounts, you know, and very inexpensive. It's almost part of a public housing program, but you pay for it. It's kind of a hybrid approach where they underwrite the cost of the residences by discounting these government projects. You still have to pay for it. It's just not clear as to why they're built and who they're built for when you have so many of them. It'd be one thing if there was one ghost city, but the fact that there's, you know, anywhere from 10 to 14 of these large, prominent cities, is just really hard to understand as to why they exist.
Well, Jeff, do you have a sense, and I think you do because you guys did a lot of work on that article, I mean, I mentioned yesterday, and I guess...
Let me back up on that. I mean, I want to be clear about it. There is a reason for why they exist. Part of the Chinese government's, you know, this was their effort after the global financial crisis to stimulate their economy. And they embarked on this debt splurge of sorts and tried to juice the economy by building more infrastructure and stimulating the property market, but it failed, you know.
Well, Okay, but they had...
They were unoccupied.
I mentioned yesterday, and again, Maddie was helping me out big time, like he always does. I'm going to say at 1900, Chicago had, you know, pushing 3 million people, and I'm saying we were one of the top 10 cities in the world. And now China has got, you know, God knows how many cities that are bigger than Chicago. But they had this massive movement from rural to city to where now you have places where there's 25 million people and so forth. Matter of fact,
China has more than 10 megacities that have more than 10 million residents.
Well, so they have... was that all a massive version of what happened to Chicago when everybody came from the South and the Great American Migration? Was that like that times, 100, where everybody came from the... one of the people who used to work with us said that the family farm there was an eighth of an acre at one point. I mean, did they just expect this massive, whatever you want to call it, migration from the interlands to the cities to continue, and it just stopped? Or, they decided to get ahead of it by building a city when everybody wanted to leave the agrarian world, and all of a sudden, did they just stop? Or, it seems like there's something weird going on here.
Yep. Yeah, I guess so, but the disconnect, is so large. I mean, there are estimates that China has more than 50 ghost cities. Those are some of the estimates from them.
But the other,
and those are real, those are reportedly, real estimates, not just, anecdotal things that can't be verified. We included about 12 to 14 of them. But like I said, there are 10 megacities in China that have over 10 million people. In each one of the cities. So, yes, it's a direct result of when their economy started to improve, you saw this migration from the farms to the cities.
Did you happen to catch, I was trying to look at it at home last night, I put the Packer-Detroit game on pause. At least it's bad enough watching the Packers play Detroit, but I don't want to watch the commercials. And I was trying to, my home computer's not the best. CNBC had an amazing article that I could barely get through because of the bandwidth it took for my computer. It was a... and, Jeff, I don't know who the hell did this, but I'll tell you what, somebody did a nice job. They talked about all the mega cities in China that are in danger if the oceans go up like a foot. Some of these cities, there's like 27 million people, and most of them are within 5 feet of sea level. And they're not in the south necessarily. They're right where the Yangtze River goes in and other places, and... I mean, I had no idea that they had that kind of... It's like they had 10 New Orleanses. I mean, only with, 10 million people or more in each one of them. I was kind of stunned. I don't know what you do about it, but did you have any idea of that? Did you see that by any chance?
No, not aware of that. No.
I mean, I was tempted to send it out, but I kept gagging my computer. If I can find it today, I'll send it out to everybody.
I've got it. I'll tweet it out.
All right, because it's... I'm sitting there going, I didn't realize these guys...
The reason why it was taking up so much bandwidth is it's a pretty cool, interactive map.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In the article.
Yeah.
With a bunch of graphics and stuff.
I mean, it's whoever did it had a real computer, let's put it that way. he had a game computer, Jeff. So as of yet, now when something like that happens on yesterday, what was your first thought? My first thought was, how many people here... I know, the same day... Goldman's trying to get people to buy 5 stocks in China. So the interplay between here and China is way deeper, I think, than people say, oh, don't worry, these guys go under, it's not going to bother us at all. I mean, I can't tell you how much, Jeff, but I know it's not no effect. I mean, I don't think it's we're gagging ourselves by the throat, but I don't think it's a sore toe either. Do you have a guess of where we land in this?
No, but, if you were... that, first of all, no. But if you are one prone to distrust practically anybody, then you would have picked up on the fact that there seemed to be this just really overwhelming willingness of financial commentators to identify China as a buying opportunity, as opposed to saying that there's something more systemic that we should be looking at that, like the type of questions you're raising right now, but instead it was pretty much plugged off. This isn't something to worry about in China.
I don't. mean, I hate like how they use Nazi references, but clearly it was totally illogical to uproot a big segment of your population that was very happy living there and trundle them off places and kill them when you needed them just normally and you needed them in a war effort, right? I mean, that was totally illogical on the part of the Nazis, yet it happened in a totalitarian regime. So why do we seem to have people to tell you that, oh no, these guys will never screw their gambling companies. Go, what they're doing in Macau is totally illogical. And by the way, they'll come around to my point of view tomorrow and go in there and buy these gambling stocks. I mean, why would anybody ever say that? Yet I hear it all day long. I mean, how do we know what's going through that guy's mind? He may think that gambling's the most immoral thing on earth and he's going to execute all these people. How do we know? I'm not saying he's going to, but I have no idea what he's thinking. Do you?
Yeah. It's a big surprise, and it certainly hurts companies like LVS, like Las Vegas Sands,
yeah,
who relied on its growth over the last 5 years from Macau.
I mean, I read off a list yesterday. I mean, I sent it out to everybody, but what they're doing with like the individual crackdowns, kind of messing with Hong Kong, which is a massive economic engine for them. Macau clearly is too. They don't seem to have a problem messing with them. They also seem to be spending a lot of money on military, which you wonder why they need. I mean, there's like four or five things they're doing. They're messing with their businesses big time. They don't seem to want it. You know, I mean,
gaming sector. You know, they're cutting down the amount of time you can play on gaming consoles, and they're not big on boy bands either. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, there's some kind of method of madness in somebody's mind. I mean, I don't know who the guy is, but clearly, if you're an investor, I think it would cause you to take some pause, not say, this is a screaming buy, but then again, that's me.
That's right. That's right. And it goes back to what perhaps the underlying thesis of your query is here, is that maybe we're more closely tied at the hip financially, at least Wall Street is, China, than anyone really discusses. Because they sure were pounding the table on China being a long-term buy.
Well, I mean, I just remember after the mortgage crisis, I mean, when that was 2007, 2008, you know, working its way into 2009, I remember reading stuff in like, 2014 about some bank in Germany, like I can't name you the list of German banks, but it's clearly one I've never heard of and never was in any kind of paper I ever read. And all of a sudden, yeah, these guys are going under because they were invested in mortgages in the U.S. And you're like, who are these guys? And how did they? I think people get in these places. I mean, you have no idea who's where, Jeff. I don't think. I mean, unless you. I mean, you would think the Federal Reserve would, because they're supposed to know this stuff, but they sure don't act like it. I mean, they clearly didn't know what was happening in 2008 when they should have seen all the currency inflows from Japan buying mortgage stuff, right? Where people were borrowing money over there and at 2% and buying mortgages at 6%. Well, you and I can't see that, but that is their job, right?
That is.
So okay, what's going on? When's the new issue? What are the topics on the next two or three issues? And what, because they all sounded like fun the last time you mentioned what they were.
Well, we're still working on the data privacy issue that we spoke with you about. So that's still in motion, and we're preparing this week an interview with the CEO of DuckDuckGo, talk a little bit more about this platform and how it's managing in its quest to gain market share from Google as a privacy-centric browser. So that's been an interesting preparation. And then we've already talked to about a half a dozen experts in the area as we're putting the story together. Right now we're really looking at data brokers, how they continue to exist, how they can sell things, how they can... You know, how they operate, where they get their data from, how much do they sell it for, how come nobody cares that I can go to a data broker and buy information about you. So we're trying to get our arms around that right now. And that will be a focus for the next issue.
Two questions. One is, take a guy like Matty Weber. You know, he's a seller, a buyer kind of guy. We actually, in a talk about information that nobody should know, it seemed like your lovely bride likes using stuff delivered, doesn't she? Just saying, Manny.
Not any more than anyone else. I would say probably less than anyone else.
You mean, who's anyone else? Me or some other 35-year-old lady?
Yes, compared to her demographic, she's probably on the less delivery side. But yeah, we get our fair share of deliveries.
So that's every other day instead of every day?
No. There was a time during the early parts of the pandemic where it felt like it was every other day. But now I would say maybe once a week.
All right. Well, I guess my question is, if you were to... What is... The Matt and Jill and Venkman combo, what is their information of what they've bought and their social security numbers, and what is that worth to somebody in terms of dollars? Jeff, have you been able to figure that out? And mine wouldn't be worth crap, yeah. I don't think. But
well, there's on the black market, on the dark web, you can buy individual data, and that can be anywhere from $20 to $500,
really?
Believe it or not.
Really?
But for the most part, an individual file could be a nickel to 40-50 cents. When they're, because they're sold in mass, you know, no one, for the most part, you know, there's two types of buyers. There's list buyers and marketing buyers who are, you know, looking to buy large amounts of data, the profile people, the micro target for advertising messaging. And they're paying under a dollar name for sure, you know, usually under 50 cents, and often as close, as little as a dime. But then if you're trying to target an individual person, and there has been cases of individual data being sold because they're being targeted for criminal purposes, that happens quite frequently, in fact, and those transactions occur on the dark web for the most part, and the price tags anywhere, like I said, up to $500 in some instances. Not frequently, though. Things go pretty cheaply there.
Matty, you know what I love, Jeff? Is every time he gives you an answer, I immediately have about six more questions. all right, so what? Okay, what could somebody find out about me? All right, that I bought a sweatshirt, that I charged something at Tripoli, and I had to get something done to my truck 6 months ago. I got to believe I'm in the nickel category. Now, when somebody...
But what you looked at on, you know, what you've been browsing on your website, you know, what you weren't able to look at last night because it wouldn't load. I think perhaps the most disturbing stuff is where you go every day, what you do. You know, that your geo-tracked location data is easily accessible by data brokers. Anyone wanting to find out what you do on the given day can find out.
If I turn my phone to off, does that make any difference?
It does. If you disable location tracking, yes, it does.
Well, yeah. I've always had that disabled.
Yep.
Right, so when you get to the criminal side, the 500-hour one, now are we looking about, does my home have a alarm system? I mean, do I have a dog? You know, do I have whatever? Do I have some kind of cameras? I mean, can I find that out about somebody and then know how to go rob their place?
Sure. You're pretty creative as a thief. I mean, maybe you missed your calling. Yeah, of course you could.
Well, yeah, I am.
Of course you could run out. You know, the worst offenders, like we've been asking. And you know, all the people that we've been interviewing and talking to, one of the questions are, you know, is what are the things you must do? You know, the simple things. And invariably, it's switching. You know, it's getting a VPN, switching to a browser like DuckDuckGo, getting off of Gmail and going to Proton Mail, and you know, those are the things that everyone says. Well, you just got to do those basic things. You know. So there are simple things that you can do to cut things down.
What let me I hate to beat up on this, but I'm absolutely fascinated by this subject, Jeff. Well, first thing before I forget, you got to do me one favor when you're talking to the guy at DuckDuckGo. Don't have to mention my name. Don't have to mention anything. Say you got a buddy that has a girlfriend. They still do, I think. It has a girlfriend that bought a new laptop. And between Microsoft and Google, she had one hell of a time getting the thing to get DuckDuckGo. It fought her tooth and nail around the ring like she was a boxer. Ask him if he's aware of that and what's he doing about it.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. We just came upon that yesterday in doing some research. New computers were loaded with a, I'm blanking on what it's referred to, but it's actually something that the president of or the CEO of DuckDuckGo is trying to actually author legislation or the framework for legislation, and he believes that there should be a there's a term for this choice that occurs when you're setting up a browser or selecting a browser for your computer. And DuckDuckGo was actually deleted from the list of browser options by a number of computers it set up. So it's not surprising that there are some people who can't get it on their computers, believe it or not. I didn't believe, I heard you mention that a couple of days ago on air, and it didn't make sense to me, but apparently that's indeed the case.
So you didn't believe me, eh?
No, I did not believe. It sounded like just someone being incompetent with technology that couldn't download a browser.
Well, just
but
because
there are certain operating systems that are restricting the download of certain browsers.
I am pretty much incompetent, but remember, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then.
So I'm trying to, and he's actually working on legislation for that. So I'll have a better answer for you next week.
All right, now you got me to another question. Sounds like a pretty good guy. Sounds like a guy like us. I got to believe that you and I have not the first person that figured this out. That people in our antitrust department, people all over the place have figured this out. And they are letting Microsoft do whatever they damn well please. And this legislation, if it gets any place, is going to run to somebody going, eh. Because I'll tell you something else. When Thomas was nice enough to set my computer up at home, never mind. I don't even know. Nobody knows the story of why I need a new. When I say a new computer, it's got to be 10 years ago. So he puts. He says, "Chief, you don't want to use whatever Microsoft browser. Use Firefox." All right. So I use Firefox. I don't know much difference, and seemed pretty good to me. All of a sudden, one day, I kick up my Firefox. I'm like, "What the hell? My Firefox doesn't work." It turns out my computer had been updated by Microsoft, and they erased the Firefox. And I said, Thomas told me, okay, if I want to download something, I tried just to go to Firefox, and of course the computer wouldn't let me. It's blocking me. So he goes, where did I, there's some, you guys, I know I'm an idiot here, but there's a place you can go where it lists all the stuff you might want to download, and you can download it from there so the computer doesn't block you because it doesn't know you're going to Firefox because you're going through a third party. It blocked me even there. So not only did whatever they are, Microsoft blocks me from, they erase my Firefox, but now I couldn't even get the thing back on. I mean, I'm not the first person this happened to, Jeff. Don't let's not think for a second. Let's not be naive enough that the people in Washington don't know that's happening. They just don't care. Or they got a check from Microsoft in their back pocket. I hope your friend from DuckDuckGo is running the same stuff, but does he honestly think that one's going to get out of committee?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, too, and it's something that revolves around the fact that this is a fun thing to talk about. It's an issue I do care about, and a lot of people claim that they care about it. We're surveying our readers also, and they all, so far, everyone cares to claim about privacy, but it's referred to as the privacy paradox. People claim to care about privacy, and then they have Alexa on in their home, and they have Google. They have Google on in their home, or use Siri with these always listening devices. So we take actions that are focused more on convenience than privacy, yet we claim to care about privacy. So I think the reason I answered your question that way is, you know, if we gave that privacy the same attention that we're giving, you know, other issues that matter, like you know, social issues or LGBTQ rights or or, you know, racism or anything else, if we cared about privacy with the same fervor that we care about other issues that are dominating the day right now, I think we'd see a little bit more activity out of our legislature.
Well, Jeff, we got a day show. Let's go to break, and then I want to tee this up some more when we come back, because this is a fascinating issue. SP Fears up 27, NASDAQ Fears up 23. Plus, you're writing an article about it, so it's even better. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, SP Futures. Up 28, so we're leaking a little bit. We're still up. NASDAQ futures up 97. We were up like 115 when we came in, and the S&Ps were up 32, but we're there. Dow's up 230, was up over 300 when we came in, so we're leaking a hair. I don't know what it says technically if all of a sudden we don't hold on to this rally today. I'm assuming we're going to, but maybe if we don't, I guess it will be a different story tomorrow morning. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 204, 1.3%. They were up more earlier. FTSE up 77, 1.1. CAC around up 91.4. So everybody's bullish over there. In Asia, Japan was closed yesterday, so careful with this one. Down 660, that's 2.2%. Shanghai was closed yesterday, but they're actually up 6.2%. Hang Seng was way down yesterday. We're down 3%, and they're back a half a percent, up 122. So down 3, up a half. It's still not so hot. If you do the addition there. Yesterday is a wave review. Dow down 614. S&P down 75. NASDAQ up or down 330. So NASDAQ is back roughly a little less than a third. S&Ps are 40%. And the Dow down up a third. So we're bouncing our way back. Fibonacci retrace it would be two-thirds. We're not even close to that. 10-year. 1.32, so pretty much unchanged. Bund minus 0.33, unchanged. Japan positive 0.04, it's actually down a little bit. Oil up 61 cents, 70.90 over 70. Ran up 57 cents, almost back to that 75 number, 74.49. Natural gas down 8 cents. Sinking pretty far under 5 hours here at 4.89. We've over 5 hours for about 2 weeks. We've got RBOB up a penny to 2.13. Got gold now up $10, $17.73. Gold got mashed yesterday for a while, and then came flying back. Silver up 44 cents. It was a big move. It's a 2% move in silver. Copper up a penny, $4.12. And we've got Bitcoin down $3.96 at $43,159. Matty, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still off to a decent start here on the area expressways, but we do have a lot of weather in the area as far as rain is concerned and dark, cloudy skies. So that could change. Traffic building on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower. Looks like those earlier crashes on the Stevenson are all clear, but the ramp on the Stevenson southbound side to get on to US 20, which is exit 279 right to the southbound LaGrange Road there, is still blocked due to a jackknife semi that happened earlier this morning.
So, Marty, First Avenue, or you got to go all the way to 83, or else you're not getting across the canal.
There you go. So that's still an area of concern. Southside expressways, heavy traffic volumes, but no accidents to report either. Off the expressways, there's one crash in the area. That's in the northwestern suburbs. Newport Boulevard at Devon Avenue, there is an accident. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, kind of a crummy weather day today. Dark, cloudy skies, rain on and off throughout the day. Much cooler temperatures, a high of 68 with rain in the forecast. Right now it is overcast and 67 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 102 today. Right now it's clear and 73. In sports, the White Sox got some help from the Kansas City Royals as they swept a doubleheader from Cleveland, reducing the White Sox magic number down to 2. So that's a combination of White Sox wins and or Cleveland losses. But the White Sox didn't help themselves. They lost to the Tigers last night 4-3. But if the Sox win and Cleveland loses today, the White Sox are your 2021 Central Division champions. Cubs are off last night. They'll host the Minnesota Twins tonight in interleague action. That's a 6:40 first pitch at Wrigley, weather permitting. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Braves, 11-4. Lastly, Monday Night Football last night. Green Bay, after getting blown out in Week 1, had a shaky first half, and you're kind of wondering, you know, what's going on with the Packers? And then they came out like gangbusters in the second half, blew the doors off the Lions, and won 35-17. Chief.
Matty, how much of a... of a spear into them is for the Sox if Rodon somehow can't be around for the playoffs.
It's not good. Yeah, apparently Tony said he still has a soreness, which is a concern, and they're gonna, you know, I guess keep shutting him down. But yeah, it's not good. They're starting pitching and back of their bullpen is probably the two biggest concerns right now with a team that is really talented pretty much everywhere else. So. And, they're 8-9 in the month of September. You'd like to be playing well in the last month of the season, although we've seen teams play really well in September and not doing anything in the playoffs, and then we've seen teams that don't do anything in September and get hot in the playoffs. So I don't know how much it correlates, but they're struggling right now. There's no doubt about it, and they're a little banged up.
Hey, Maddie, how do you handicap the playoffs coming up?
As far as who's going to get in or who's going to...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who are we looking at in the finals?
Sure. So as it stands right now, your division winners in all divisions except for the NL West and the NL East are pretty much decided. So you're going to have Tampa is winning the AL East, the White Sox are winning the AL Central, the Astros are winning the AL West. I mean, that's done. Those are those are locks. The Brewers are winning the NL Central. That's a lock. So. As far as, you know, the wild cards, there's still some stuff to sort out here because Toronto, New York, and Oakland are in the thick of it in the American League for the two wild card spots. And in the National League, it's Cardinals, Reds, and Padres are battling for the second spot to go on with the Dodgers. So, you know, it could change depending upon who gets in, but I think that you're going to see a World Series between the in the National League, I think it's going to be the San Francisco Giants. I think they've been the best team all year, and I think they have the Dodgers number. And even though the Dodgers have a huge payroll and more overall talent, I think San Francisco finds a way to win the NL.
What are the chances of the Dodgers losing to like the Reds in one game?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Definitely possible. The American League, I just don't have a good feel for. Tampa has been the team to beat all season long. And last year they went to the World Series. They won the AL pennant. But I just, I don't know. Something about them I just don't believe in. I really like Houston. I could see them doing it. The Red Sox are playing well again. They got off to a really good start, and then they struggled for a while, and now they seem to be back, and they have a ton of talent. I would love to see the two former Cubs and have it Red Sox with Schwarber, versus Giants and Chris Bryant. That'd be fine with me.
I'm kind of. I've watched. I got an odd view of this, Maddie, because obviously, you know, if you go to the Triple, you're watching the Bo Sox. It seems to me that Tampa really does well against the other good teams.
Tampa's legit.
Yeah, I mean, they're beating up.
I mean,
the
most
Sox.
People couldn't name, you know, five guys on their whole team because it's just a bunch of young guys, and their payroll is minuscule compared to the teams in their division, the Yankees and Red Sox and Blue Jays. But they're just a great organization, and they were, like I said, they were in the World Series last year. They got rid of their number one starter because they didn't want to pay him, and they're right back in it this year. It's like they don't miss a beat. So yeah, there's something to that. They're certainly not scared of the other big teams, but come playoff time, you know, I would typically side with the proven guys, and they don't have any proven guys really.
Yeah, I was just surprised that whenever I see them, I saw them playing the Yankees. You know, again, this is a small survey. They clobbered the Yankees. They beat the Bo Sox like three nights in a row, and the guys in the Triple were pounding on the bar. You know,
the Yankees might not get in the playoffs,
right? But I'm saying they're not afraid of the. It's not like they beat the Pirates 16 out of 17. I mean, no. They're beating the good teams.
Yeah, and I know that we have a lot of White Sox listeners, and we have Josh Nelson who contributes to our show, who's a great White Sox guru and hosts the Sox Machine podcast, and is part of the Baseball Writers of America group and all that. I would love to see the White Sox go on a deep run. They have a great fan base, and you know, they haven't really been competitive for about 13 years. I think 2008 was the last time they made the playoffs, except for last year. Obviously, during the COVID season, they made the playoffs, but there was no fans, and they lost in the first round, and it wasn't quite the same. This year, they've got to go to the ballpark every day and cheer on this team, and they really like this team. And it's the first time in quite a while.
They're a very likable group.
They are, and they're young, and they can hit, and if their pitching can stay together, they could make a deep run. It wouldn't shock me at all.
What?
Well, their price is about the same price as Tampa Bay right now in terms of going all the way in the series.
Who are the favorites in the betting markets? Is it Tampa and San Francisco, or Tampa and L.A.?
Well, of course it's the Dodgers on top at 3-1, and San Francisco at 5-1. The Brewers are plus 550. Houston's plus 550. Then the Tampa Bay plus 600 and Chicago White Sox plus 650.
How could you?
So they would have Dodgers versus Astros, which is that was the World Series a couple years ago, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. Those would be the two favorites.
All right? How do you if you're a statistics guy? I don't care who the Dodgers play in the one game playoff. They don't have any more than a 60% chance of winning. When you're starting out with that, how the hell do you be a 90% chance to win? You can't.
Well, then you wouldn't bet for them, would you?
No, I'm just saying it mathematically it doesn't. My next question is going to be, Maddie, our guru, when are we going to get rid of this one game playoff? They're going to be 2 out of 3
year during the COVID sort of I don't know, experimental season, they did 2 out of 3, and I thought it went pretty well. Of course, the Cubs lost their 2 out of 3, so did the White Sox, so it didn't go well for them. But yeah, they seem to be back to the regular format, which is the one game for the wild card, the first wild card, and then back in. I don't know. I'm with you. I think they're going to expand it.
I mean, what's the?
But they don't want to play into November either.
No, I get it, but I mean. Well, Jeff, you're a master of betting on this stuff. If you wrote the articles, and when everybody gets to line up their best pitcher, you just saw Kansas City knock off.
No, you're 100% right. You can't underwrite a one game playoff. You know, coming off of 180 game season. You know, you just can't. It makes no sense at all.
Well,
you have to take them out of your mix.
But it even could fall that if the Dodgers had a good chance of winning the division, that they would expend their 1 and 2 starters on that weekend, and their third starters pitching against the Reds or Cardinals' first starter, and they'd actually be underdogs.
Right. Well, sure. the Dodgers, I think the reason why they're still favored in the betting markets with 10 days left in the regular season is they're only one game back of San Francisco. In the division.
Yep.
So I think, and their run differential is so much higher than San Francisco, which goes big into the betting predictions. They believe over the sample size that LA is actually a better team than San Francisco, and maybe they think they're going to win the division here in the next 10 days, which they certainly could.
Well, who does the schedule favor? Do you have any idea?
That I don't know. I actually just pulled up the Dodgers schedule. It looks like it looks like they don't play San Francisco the remaining games here. So they have
That was a big story last week,
which is ridiculous because usually the MLB is really good at that. But there's they have 12 games left, and they're all 12. The first six are against bad teams, Colorado and Arizona. The last six are against good teams, San Diego and Milwaukee. But Milwaukee's going to have everything sewn up, so they might rest guys. So, you know, you could easily see the Dodgers go 9-3, 10-2 here to close this out and win the division.
Where do the Giants play?
And the San Francisco, it looks like, looking at their schedule as it loads up here, they have also 12 games left. They play San Diego six times.
Wow.
San Diego's a good team. And then they also play Colorado and Arizona, who stink. So, you know, their schedule, I wouldn't say, it's a little bit harder than LA's, only because I think Milwaukee will be resting guys.
San Diego totally out of the wild card?
They're not totally out, but they're, I think, three or four games back. Okay. So, they really have to almost win out to jump a couple teams.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, back to our... Okay.
So looking back at the betting odds, the one thing that's worth noting is if you put $100 on the Giants at the beginning of the season, and if they end up winning the World Series, that the 80 to 1 payout. So that's
nice.
$8,000 back.
They came out of nowhere. I mean, they have not been competitive in the last few years, and they just slowly kind of rebuilt the organization after they had the great run. They won three World Series in the mid-2000s, you know, 2010, 2012, and I think 2014. They won, and then, you know, 2016 they were in the playoffs. Of course, the Cubs beat them in the playoffs that year. And then the last 4 or 5 years, they've really had to just kind of retool their whole organization, and now they're back. They're just another example, like the Rays, where they spend more money than the Rays, obviously, but they just have a great organization. You can't keep them down very
long. How far can the Rays... there's much more revenue sharing in baseball than there ever was, so it's possible. But every time I watch those guys, which isn't all the time, I just happened to caught them a few times in the last couple of months. Every time I watch them, you got more people at your softball game. I mean, how does an organization overcome that?
It's a good question. Their attendance, there is them and Miami, the two Florida teams, are year in and year out the two worst attending teams in baseball. Plus, Tampa is 26th out of 30 teams in payroll this year, and yet they have the best record in the American League and one of the best teams in baseball. So it doesn't really add up. But as you know, the way the salary structures work, when you draft a guy or sign a guy out of the Dominican Republic or Central America or something like that, you have control over them at a very manageable rate.
Yep.
And for 6 years, and if you can get a bunch of good players in that 6 year realm where you're not paying them much, but they're outperforming their salary, and then you can plug in, you know, veteran guys at sort of very manageable salaries around them, then you don't need to spend a ton of money and you don't need a ton of attendance.
But Manny, I'm trying to get a feel. Well, I you're right, obviously. But what does it shake out when the Nationals first started? And they weren't all that big of a hit right away, except for people trying to get tickets. I mean, everybody obviously had the good seats in the skyboxes. But I don't even think they had a local TV contract. Because I went to a bar and said, I want to watch the Nationals and the Cubs. They said, they're not on. I mean what is the difference between the Cubs deal with, like, the Score and Tampa Bay's team with, the WX something and Did they even have a local TV contract where every game is on? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it can't be anywhere near the amount of money that like Marquee thinks they're making from the Cubs or NBC's got with the Stocks. I mean,
I wouldn't think so. But I do think every MLB team has a local radio and TV deal.
So you think everybody...
Every single one, yes.
Every team's got a... Do you even need it if the people really care can get it from MLB, right?
Well, they're blacked out.
Well, they wouldn't be if you don't have if you can't watch them at home.
No, I'm saying that you can't watch the Cubs in Chicago on the MLB app.
We can't, but if there was no Marquee, I bet we could.
No, we can't. You can't watch the White Sox on the MLB app.
Okay, but I'm saying because they're on.
No, I'm saying every team has a local channel.
Oh, you're sure? Okay.
Yes, and then they're all blacked out in their local markets.
Right. What I'm saying is, way back, the Nationals didn't.
The Nationals maybe for...
Like a year or two, yeah.
I mean, first of all, I don't think that's true. I think they always had a TV deal. But if for whatever reason they didn't, or if that bar, you know, didn't have it, if they had their own channel or something like that, it was very short-lived.
Okay. All right, so you're saying everybody...
Yeah, they all have a radio deal, they all have a TV deal, and then they're all blacked out. And MLB gets a lot of flack from fans about their blackout rules because... It doesn't hurt you if you live in Chicago. Obviously, you can get the White Sox, and then now with the Cubs, it's a joke. But now, you know, if you're a big Cubs fan, you'll pay up for marquee. Where it hurts you is if you're in Indiana or you're in Iowa or you're in a state that doesn't have a professional team but is within a few hours from a big city, and MLB will black you out. And not only will they black you out for, you know, let's say if you're in Eastern Iowa and you're within 3.5 hours of five major cities, you can get to Milwaukee, you can get to Minneapolis, you can get to Chicago, you can get to St. Louis, you can get to Kansas City, all around you, all of those Major League Baseball teams, you know, you have segments of fans in that area, and MLB blacks it out for all of them.
Well, if I really...
And so they can't watch any games. And so you're killing your product for a whole segment of people. And that's true all throughout the country, and if you're within a few hours of a market, it's crazy.
Well, if I have the dish in Nebraska, and can I get the marquee?
Yes, because now you can pay for a channel. I'm talking about the MLB like league
right,
pass,
okay,
the
right.
league pass. You can always pay for a channel, and then if you're in Nebraska, you're far enough away from any major city except for Kansas City, where the blackouts won't apply to you. But it would for the Royals. If you tried to stream the Royals on your MLB app, you could be blacked out.
All right, I gotta sneak back to Jeff here because of course I'm doing nothing but more questions about this new. Jeff, I'm going to say that we only have a few minutes, so I'll be brief here. One of the ladies who used to be one of the court reporters, I think she ended up getting another job this season. But anyway, really nice lady. We used to meet her to a point where she, when somebody was next to you, stood next to you for like years and years, you get this banter, right? So she'd come into the Dunkin' Donuts and she'd pay for her coffee with her phone. And so then I would rub my phone on the machine afterwards. She'd say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I just got all your information. For the rest of the day, everything's on you." And she goes, "Tommy, you wouldn't do that even if you could." I had a pretty honest reputation. And I go, yeah, I said, "Juanita, where the hell, what do you need your phone to buy coffee for? What's the matter with you?" She goes, you're just an old Luddite and would wander out. The thing of it is, and most people you ask, Jeff, if you were to even ask me, if you were to say, your information is valuable. Well, I'm sitting there going, does anybody really give a crap that I get done with my money managing stuff, talk to clients, I go over to the health club for a while, stop maybe at the Tripoli or go home or go buy gas? I mean, to me, it seems uninteresting. I mean, it's not like, okay, the weekends I get out to Audrey's, I take her out to dinner. But I guess there's a huge disconnect between certainly what she feels that people care about in her life and even me to a certain extent. I say, why would anybody want to waste time following me around? But I also know that there must be a reason for it. And on me, I'm just... enough of a Southsider. If somebody cares to look, I don't want him to find. I don't care if he's finding something worthwhile or not. I don't want him looking at my stuff. But now, I guess, there is just a massive disconnect, Jeff, between people thinking there's nothing there that's worthwhile and other people that think there is stuff worthwhile. And there's no education process there. You're not going to see your government come out and say, "Hey, you should turn your friggin' locator off, you idiots," because that's what these guys, because they're so in bed with these people. I mean, what is this, what are specific informations, like if you went out and just bought a new pick-me-up and paid 75 or 80 grand for a new truck, which is what they cost, is that piece of information worth a boatload to somebody who might want to come steal it or might want to sell you a warranty, or who's going to pay, and how is are specific things like that valuable? Or if somebody gets the world's best home security system, is that worthwhile? Or if you decided you don't want it anymore, is that worth? I mean, what's really worthwhile? Have you found?
Well, a couple things come to mind. First, it would be that Starbucks themselves say that over 60% of the customers now use their app to pay. Only 2 years ago, it was about 25% use mobile payments, but now it's 61%. So there's a lot of people that, you know, value that convenience. The next thing I'd say is that, yeah, I mean, if you want to sell somebody a car warranty, now that's purely hypothetical. None of us have ever received phone calls from somebody trying to sell a car warranty.
What do you mean? Right? I get one every day.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, every yeah. day. So you're only going to target people who have a car, obviously. So yeah, that information is exactly what those lists. Those companies that are targeting your cell phone every day, that's exactly what they're buying. There's a list of car owners and an aged list of car owners that are likely to need an extended car warranty. So, yeah, you know, for everything you've bought, there's somebody that's interested in that purchase.
Really? Well, Jeff, we got a dash, but as usual, absolutely fascinating stuff. I mean, I hope everybody finds this as fascinating as I do because... This is, I mean, I love the way the economy works, and I can just imagine people trying to figure out what little every little piece of information costs, whether it's a nickel, a dime, a quarter. I mean, I can't wait to read the magazine. But S&P Futures not only up 24, NASDAQ Futures up 76. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.